This is Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Eric Thiel. Welcome to another live session. Joining me today in the JPR studios is the band Bronze Radio Return. And right off the bat, they win the award as the Superman Band because this is the fastest six-piece band setup I think I have ever experienced in our studios.
We're off to a good start.
We've got all kinds of people in the room. Chris Henderson, Patrick Fetkowitz, Rob Griffith, Matt Warner, Bob Tannen, Craig Strubel. All of them. Bronze Radio Return. Welcome to all of you.
Thank you very much.
The newest record is called Light Me Up. BronzeRadioReturn.com is the website for more information. Light Me Up now, the fourth full length, I believe,
That's correct. The band.
Let's go back to the beginning and the name of this band, because there's kind of an interesting story, especially for those of us who work in radio, right?
The name Bronze Radio comes from an actual bronze colored radio that was tuned into public radio more frequently than not.
That's a good plug. Thank you.
And I grew up in the great state of Maine, and my dad is an artist there. And in his studio, he had this bronze colored radio. And my sister and I grew up listening to that radio a lot and learned a lot about, you know, Americana, about jazz, blues, and a lot of music that really had an influence on me. And when we started this band, we all, you know, all of us in this group have some kind of early influence, some kind of bronze radio or silver Walkman or whatever it is that we all listen to, something that we grew up listening to. So this is kind of the return of the bronze radio into the music we make now.
So the band is from Hartford, Connecticut, originally. Tell me about the Hart School. This is another music academy, and were all of you enrolled there?
Most of us were. Yeah. There was at least four of the six of us were there.
Overlapping years or at the same time?
Same time we were there. Rob and Matt played a fair amount of jazz together in school, but we didn't start playing until after we graduated. So the school, it was a great program. I studied music production technology. We had some performance. We had some management, music management. And then after school, we started playing this music kind of with this goal in mind to not have to do the 9-to-5 job and to see if we could travel around the country playing music. And here we are, excited to be doing it.
I mean, usually the story surrounding a conservatory or a dedicated music school is that it's classical or jazz. And if you want to do the kind of music that you guys make, it's weekends or it's after the lights are out or something like that under the radar of the folks running the school. That wasn't really the case. It wasn't until after you were done with school that this started to form and become a band?
Yeah, they won't let us back in the Hart School anymore. they won't let us back in
the
doors.
At this point, you should have a plaque at the Hart School, right?
We're working towards the plaque. A few more things. The Hart School did allow us to, I was in the recording program. And there were lots of opportunities for rock bands and stuff that wasn't classical and jazz to come in and record. So there were certainly opportunities. It was, you know, later nights or on weekends, but there certainly were those opportunities.
All right. Well, I want to talk about some of the amazing placements that you guys have had for your songs, because they are high profile and very lucrative, I hope, for you, because they've certainly got your music in front of thousands, if not millions, of people. Let's hear a tune first so we can give everybody a sense of what you guys sound like live.
Sure.
Bronze Radio Return, my guests, live today in the JPR studios. The newest record is called Light Me Up. BronzeRadioReturn.com is the website. What do you guys want to do first?
We're going to do the song Light Me Up.
I don't really know you, but I hope we can relate. Oh. I like to be excited. Celebrate. Oh, 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 I'm asking you if you're feeling good. That's all I need to know. Cause you light me up, will you light me up when you're good to go? When you're feeling right, I'm electrified. Light me up, will you light me up? So could you tell me how you're feeling tonight? Tell me how you're feeling tonight. All right. I like the sound of laughter. I like when your eyes shake. Oh, 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 oh.
That is Light Me Up. It's the title track from the brand new record of Bronze Radio Return. They are all live today in the J. Pierre studios, all six of them. Chris Henderson, Patrick Fedkowitz, Rob Griffith, Matt Warner, Bob Tan, and Craig Struble, all in the JPR tiny studio. Thank you guys for coming
in here
today.
It's cozy.
We will have some photos up on our website later today to show you just how all of them are crammed into the room. Okay, great, great illustration of the next thing I want to touch on, which is your songs are so catchy. Consistently catchy across the records, and the catchiness and the interest of them has certainly caught the ears of some rather useful people, because your songs have been placed in a number of different high profile commercials, Starbucks, Nissan, a bunch of other things. Once that starts happening and you start hearing from folks saying, hey, I heard you guys, I heard your music underneath the show, do you then start thinking maybe we should try to craft a few more along the lines of the one that did well and got some placements? Or does that then start to pull you in a direction that you don't really want?
I feel like that would pull you down a path of writing jingles, which is a really cool craft and a cool skill. But you know, we've just been really fortunate that our music, I think, is translated. You know, it's generally upbeat. Mm-hmm. You know, we're lucky that it works in a fair amount of these placements for movies, TV shows, and commercials, but we've never sat in the studio and aimed to say, oh, this is going to be a Nike commercial or something, and at most we would joke about it from time to time, but we would never actually direct it towards commercial use only.
Some of those things are remarkably fortuitous when they happen. I mean, Apple's been incredibly influential over the years. If you go back through the iPods and the Apple Watch and all of this stuff, the song that they would choose all of a sudden launched the career in
and
some
it's,
cases.
It's interesting too, like 10 years ago probably people would look, you know, bands would look at these places and be like, man, I don't want Coca-Cola using my song, like that's not cool. And nowadays I feel like it's, you know, a lot of bands want that exposure because it can be lucrative pay, but even more so it's a vehicle to have the music out there in front of millions of people. And I say this a lot too, if a million people hear the song and 1,000 people take the time to actually go and look it up and listen to it, and of those 1,000 people, 500 people come out to see a show, that's still 500 more people that would never have heard the music if it wasn't for that opportunity.
It is a very crowded landscape these days.
Yes.
I mean, everybody can not only make music now, but distribute music now.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
So the choices that are out there are kind of daunting. How do you turn the success of these things into success for the band? I mean, just because you had a big song that everybody knows 15 seconds of, how do you do that work to convert those folks into followers and fans and album buyers and concert goers of Bronze Radio Return?
I think a big part of it comes down to making sure you put on an intriguing and interesting live show. Mm. I think the commercials can kind of act as an introduction to the band. It's like, hey, and people would hear it and say, man, this sounds kind of cool, I want to check it out. How we aim to convert that is to work on putting on this energetic live show that people come to and leave feeling like they had a good time, or that they can take something away from that. I think that's the translation between the two, hopefully.
It's a little unwieldy to take a 6-piece out on the road, right? A lot of logistics.
Sure.
Bigger vehicle, more hotel rooms, more gear. how do you make that leap? When do you know it's the right time to say, you know what, yeah, let's go out and do the West Coast for the first time, or let's go to Europe for the first time, or elsewhere? How do you make that call?
You know, you got to be smart about it, because you don't want to just burn gas for gas burning sake, you know? And it's nice now because gas is so much more affordable, so this is a great time of year for us to be touring. But, you know, from we started playing around in Connecticut, and then from Connecticut we played in probably Boston, New York, and some of the, you know, Philadelphia and surrounding areas. So I think you can start getting indicators as shows kind of build in your closer to your home market. And then, you know, you can take an opportunity like traveling with another band that has a draw on a West Coast, or, you know, there's a lot of different ways to look at it.
Yeah, we pay attention to our analytics here if we want to get a little more technical, but, you know, seeing things like where streams on Spotify or Pandora are coming from, and where the YouTube views are coming from, and also, you know, where radio play is happening is another big thing that leads us to certain cities.
Which draws you right here to Ashland, Oregon.
Exactly. We got to play a show here now.
Absolutely. In fact, when we get our new building in about a year and a half,
oh, yes,
and we've got more physical space, I'm expecting a return trip with the whole setup.
We would love to.
Is that all right? Each one of your records has been made in a different geographic location.
Yes.
Intentionally.
Yes.
You guys just haven't hooked up with a producer that you wanted to work with, but you've actually sought out locations that are different in order to have what? Just a different feel, a different vibe?
Totally. I think there's a certain creativity that comes from being alert, or that comes from being in a new space. And I feel like we're often asked, like, well, you know, you recorded this album in El Paso, Texas. What kind did the tumbleweeds, you know, cactus, what were there things that influenced you? And I can't really pinpoint any specific influence as far as, you know, we were around and there were, you know, tumbleweeds and this and that, but it's just being in a new location, and that kind of gets our creative juices, just keeps us on our toes. So we pick a new place every time.
Is it easier or more difficult to focus on the task when you're in a new setting and you've got a whole bunch of new things to be exploring and looking at and enjoying? New food, new places to go out?
Personally, I think it's easier, because I think what's more difficult is to be closer to home and have the, you know, the communications with family, friends, wives, girlfriends, which we obviously love. But when it's time for the creating portion of it, it's nice to shut off a lot of those routine things. And it also keeps it exciting in the studio when we record for 8 or 9 hours and then take a break and go walk along the Mexican border, which we did before. Yeah. And just that, it just kind of keeps your senses heightened.
I was going to say an example, too. The owner of the studio in El Paso knew about this kind of deserted water tower that had a crazy long reverb time. And so we actually got to go in there and sing a few songs a cappella. I'm not sure how much we used from it, but, you know, each location has its own kind of nice little aspects that can take you one way or another as well.
You guys do seem to do songs in a much different way in this kind of setup than what appears on the records.
Sure.
Are some of the things on the records hard to replicate on stage in front of a live audience, or do you try your best to come close?
The stuff that maybe is hard, we just take it in another direction.
Mm.
I think that a live show should offer something different than the recorded, than listening to recorded material. So we have some tunes that we play pretty close to how the album is, and then we have other tunes that we've, you know, rearranged, changed the key, tempo, and it just makes it a unique experience to come out to a show.
Hmm. I mentioned the issue of going out on tour and deciding when it's right. You guys are headed to Europe.
Yes.
Right? Is this going to be the first trip overseas for the band?
It will.
How many dates? Where are you going?
Yeah, about 3 weeks, 18 or 19 shows throughout the UK. Then we head to Paris, Amsterdam, a few places in Germany.
We're excited. I mean, we're going to be touring with a band that we've done some touring with in the United States. So that'll be good to see our friends. And we know that they have a built-in draw there, too, which will help us get into those markets. And it's going to be awesome. We're excited.
I want to end with one last thing, which is that, Chris, here in the studio chatting, you sort of sound and look like you could be wielding an axe, and yet,
okay,
and yet, when you sing, it's a different thing.
Sure.
Where did that singing voice evolve from?
You know, I wish I knew. Wielding an axe—that is good. I'm from Maine. You know, I've wielded an axe or two. I didn't start singing until way later in the game. I didn't start singing until halfway through college. And I was terrified of doing it growing up. I was a drummer and then played guitar and then got peer pressured into singing. And now I'm singing for my supper. So I came from not ever being trained for it. It just, I open my voice, my mouth, and that's what comes out.
And with so many of you coming through conservatory, there's usually study on multiple instruments. Are you pretty well wedded to the position that you are in the band, or do you move around a little bit and change up instrumentation throughout a show?
We pretty much stick pretty where it is. A lot of us can kind of dabble in other instruments, but for the show, we mostly stick the same ones.
Yeah. Well, it's been great to have you guys here.
Thank you so much
Thanks for having us. Bronze Radio Return, my guests, live today in the JPR studios. Their newest record is called Light Me Up. BronzeRadioReturn.com is the website. Will you play us one more?
Absolutely.
What are you going to play next?
Called Further On.
One, two, three. Yeah! Smoke in the sky and fire in the air. Desire burns between them. One big push is gonna get you there. Takes a stronger eye to see them than you see it in front of you in a silhouette up ahead. And you see where it goes to lead your way. Sing your song, moving every day. Far off land to your own hometown. You've been all around the sea there. Then it's standing in front of you. You take it and you put it in. And you see where it goes.
That is Further On. It's Bronze Radio Return, live today in the JPR studios. All six of them, Chris Henderson, Patrick Fetkowitz, Rob Griffith, Matt Warner, Bob Tannen, Craig Struble. The new record is called Light Me Up. Information online at bronzeradioreturn.com. Guys, thanks again for coming in. This has been a lot of fun today.
This is awesome. Thank you so much.